Welcome to the Insurance Business Babes podcast, where we show you how we've grown our insurance and related businesses through talking about what works for us, what didn't work, and we'll help you grow your own business through our struggles and our successes. This show is owned by CMed LLC and hosted by Kathy Klein and Joanna Wyckoff. And now, let's get busy. For the listener, today we are going to be talking about conferences. How to make the most of conferences.
My favorite topic, because I am sure at a lot of them. I just got back from a conference in Arizona, clear across the country. Kathy, my best tip. Well, I got a bunch of them, but I always like to go in early and I like to stay late. That way I'm not suffering from jet lag and I'm not cranky. And I get to explore the area, especially if I've never been there before. This was my very first time as an adult in Arizona. Unfortunately, it was 3 days of the year that it rains there. I didn't get to enjoy my resort's hot pool and everything. But I like to go in early, especially if I know anybody in town, maybe if I have agents in the area, which I did. And so I went in Sunday. And I got to hang out with an agent friend all day. Then Monday, I picked up my partner and we took one of our agents and his family out to dinner. And we just built the relationship with the family. Because my favorite part is building the relationships and making it more community oriented. Because it's a lonely business if you don't do that. Especially when I'm working with agents who have spouses, I find it better if the spouse likes me.
Well, think about it. You're basically taking them away from their family October, November, December, and most of September. And so it's good if they like you.
Yep. And it's also good if the spouse has buy-in, and especially if they're newer, into what they're doing. So I got to hang out with the family of this one agent and to spend more one-on-one time with him. Because another thing is, because he does live across the country, usually when we see each other, there is a group of other agents around. So I don't get a lot of one-on-one time where he can tell me his deep, darkest secrets and there's not another agent tapping me on the shoulder.
When did the conference start and when did you get there?
I went massively early this time. The conference was on Thursday. I went on Sunday.
So I'm just thinking about all the conferences I've been to, not necessarily Medicare specific, because at this point in my life, I've only gone to one Medicare conference where I had to travel.
Yeah.
And so really, I didn't even know that there were Medicare conferences. But when I was a financial advisor or just talking about online businesses, I found that a lot of the times there's stuff going on before you get there that you don't even know is going on. Vendors have little get-togethers with people too. If they like you, yeah. They know you're going to be early. So, and that you're a vendor now.
I am a vendor. And I was a speaker at this conference. And so if I was just regular Joanna again, I would have at least gone in by Wednesday morning, Wednesday early afternoon, because a lot of us get to the hotel and then want to hang out and do dinners and drinks. So I always recommend agents, if you're just Kathy, at least get there by 3-4 o'clock the day before. So you get in your room, you put your room stuff away, you take a shower and you're ready to go to dinner with whoever else is just arriving and make some friendships before everything gets crazy. I go in early. I went in especially really early this time to spend a lot of one-on-one time with my agents who are already in town. I'm single with no kids. I can do that. Have phone, can work remote. Not everybody can do this. Like, I didn't have to worry about anybody picking up a kid and dropping them off at school. Like, nobody was missing me is what I'm saying.
Totally, totally get it. Especially if you're going across the country.
Yes.
I like to get there at least one day to get rid of the jet lag.
Yeah, I like to sleep in the next day. I certainly did sleep in the next day. So I was in bed at like 9 o'clock that night. I was, because it was 9 o'clock Arizona time. But it was really
midnight.
11 o'clock, because they're still on mountain time. It was 11 o'clock my time. And I had been up since 3 o'clock that morning flying, because I had a 6 a.m. flight. I got in early. And then the next night, I took another agent and her family out, got to know them, convinced him to get his insurance license.
Awesome.
Now, Kathy, we've discussed succession plans and why people should have a backup. But you know what sold him?
What?
that every date night could be a board meeting and a tax write-off.
I don't know if everyone could be, but yeah, theoretically, yes.
I was speaking his language. I know your spouse works for you. So we went in early, and then Wednesday, the agents started filtering in. The conference was hosted at the Great Wolf Lodge because there was a scarcity in meeting rooms.
I have been getting commercials. This can't be the same Great Wolf Lodge that has water slides and stuff.
Yeah, it's a franchise. They have a bunch of them. They have one in south of Atlanta, about an hour and a half of Atlanta too, where it's an indoor water park. And then they have the outdoor pool too. But right now we were all indoors. They had an indoor water park. It was catered to the preschool. A bunch of people brought their kids, especially if they were homeschooling them or the kids were school age. One of my friends, cool. Sandra Gebhardt, brought her husband and kid. So it was nice. And we were in the hot tub, and then we went and got ready for dinner. And then I took a group of us out to one of my favorite places to go with a group is Brazilian Steakhouse. Fogo de Chao is one of my favorites because I know the quality is the same across the country, and you don't have to wait for your plate to come. You know, because a lot of times when I take groups of people out to dinner, we might be waiting for an hour for someone to take our order. And then an hour later, someone's like, well, I never got my food and everybody else is already done eating. At least at a Brazilian restaurant, I don't have to worry about
food
that.
Food comes to you. That's
and the
right.
quality of the food and whatever. If you're a vegetarian, there's plenty of vegetarian options. If you're not, if you're a seafood eater, whatever you want, it's there. I invite what they call top flight in friends. So if I know a couple of my friends are in the area and I have a room at the table, depending on the size of the reservation, I like to invite some friends or agents who have shown interest in working with us so they get a sense of what the community is like. Yeah, I think it's a good intro. And so that's what we did Wednesday night. And then Thursday, it was an early morning at the conference. I didn't get to on stage until 10:45. I am a little bit of a diva. I do have a rider that I have to go on before lunch.
Yes, that's good. Well, okay.
So I can't have any coffee or anything for breakfast until I speak because I would end up in the bathroom.
Well, that makes total sense. You've talked about this before. Yeah.
So they put me on at 10:45 and I'm sitting there watching my friend Barry do his presentation. And lessons learned, I forgot to put together a freebie for people to scan. I normally give away a couple of my resources and my presentation, but I was so in a hurry to get this presentation over to them that I didn't create a freebie for them. It's actually what I'm doing tonight is I get to put together a resource kit because they're going to email to the attendees, the post-event thing. And so I already talked to the event coordinator. And I was like, hey, I forgot to give this to everybody. Can we add it? And they were very thankful for that.
Good. You know what we need to do? We need to automate that process so that you don't forget again. That's right. We need checklists. We need automations. Yep. We need all of it.
I need to create a checklist for myself. Chuck from the event had called me and he was asking me questions. Did you get a lot of time to talk to the attendees? Did you do this? And I was honest with him. Honestly, I think you guys need to add another day, you know, because it was a 1 day event and I flew across the country and 1 day is not enough for me to shake everybody's hand because I might be deep in conversation with you for 30 minutes and then lunch is over and we're on to the next thing. I didn't get to talk to as many people as I normally expect to because normally I'm at a conference for 2 days for the actual conference and then the night before and, you know, the morning after. And so I was a little shy at lunchtime because sponsors were talking while they were serving lunch. So I didn't feel comfortable sitting there having conversations with people next to me because somebody's talking. And I didn't want someone to have side conversations during my presentation.
Yeah, if they're having a presentation during lunch, that eliminates that time that you're able to do the mingling with other people.
I did make some good references, though. One of the sponsors, the guy is actually here in my backyard in Atlanta. They have a great product. I actually asked him if he wanted to be a sponsor in my Facebook group. But, you know, just connecting to people who have businesses that align with ours. I'm always looking for business solutions. It was a great conference. I flew home Friday. I had a lot of time to hang out with my people. And then I sent them back to their families. But I think that, especially in our insurance industry, where we hunker down for 90 days plus, it's really necessary to get some fresh air breathed into you. I love going to conferences because I feel like it's vacation with my work family, people that speak my same language.
I usually get ideas from agents, and we came home with a bunch of ideas because we were brainstorming the entire week.
I will give you an idea and your agents and everybody listening that I did when I was a financial advisor.
Ooh.
And now, granted, you make a little bit more money, a lot more money per sale as a financial advisor, but this can still be done. It doesn't cost that much. If I knew that I was going to, I knew in advance, let's say I knew I was going to go to Arizona, I would order postcards from the city where I was going to be. I would hand write them, "Dear Susie Q, I'm here in Arizona learning how to serve you better. Love, Kathy." Or, you know, hugs, whatever.
Love it.
And then I would put stamps on them and I would address them while I was watching TV. For postcards, you could probably theoretically figure out a way to have somebody fill out whatever your message is automatically so you don't have to handwrite it. And put the postcard stamps. Don't put a first class. Don't spend 60 cents on this because the postcard stamps are cheaper. And then drop them in the mail when you get there. It's going to increase client retention and it's going to increase referrals. Do not ask for a referral. Do not ask for anything. Just say, "Hey, I'm here in Arizona, wherever you are, learning how to serve you better. Thanks." And a pretty picture of wherever you are. There's my idea from financial planning. Were you able to think of something that you learned, or am I going to have to delete all this?
I'm going to let the cat out of the bag.
Tell us.
I think that most people know that I am not plan a party type. Like, I like to show up to the party and I like to go hide when I'm done. Right? I have no interest in hosting a conference, but everybody there was really interested in going on a group cruise with us. And so,
oh my gosh, amazing. Hey, is this going to be a group cruise with Top Flight or a group cruise with Insurance Business Babes?
Yeah, Insurance Business Babes. So it'll be co-ed because I want people to bring their families. Some folks will want to bring their spouse, and then some folks might not want to bring anybody and hide from the family. I'm actually going to legit plan this out for next spring, hopefully. I love cruising, and why not? We can have various. So how we do the IRS rule is the IRS, you have to like work 4 hours of the day. Well, an hour and a half at breakfast, an hour and a half at lunch, an hour and a half at dinner. Sounds like work to
there
me,
you know.
Especially if someone's talking while the group is eating dinner, etc. I learned a lot of things because it was a different audience. It was the life insurance and PNC agents. I didn't know PNC agents were there until I was actually already off stage. My presentation was how to Social Security disability for the life insurance agent and why they should be adding disability products like cancer, full disability, critical illness, short-term disability, especially if they're selling younger people like you and me. 43% of 40-year-olds are going to have at least a 90-day disability before they're retired. And I've already encountered that multiple times in my youth, and I'm only 41. Because a lot of things might not meet the level of critical illness or terminal illness, chronic illness, like on your typical life insurance rider. So I talked about Social Security disability and all the steps that you have to go through to get it, because most people aren't going to have that level of disability. Like if you're in a car accident and you break your foot and you're a mechanic, you might not be able to go to work to do your own job, but they'll probably say you could go do something else, or it's not going to be long enough. You might only be out of work a couple months, but a couple months, how many people can go a month without a paycheck? We learned that during COVID, where even higher income people were up a creek during COVID because they usually live at their means or above their means. And many people don't have a renewal income source, especially life insurance agents. Once you stop selling life insurance, that hamster wheel stops.
It's like real estate.
Yeah. Once you sell that house, you got to go hunt for another one. And for the listener, I want you to have this conversation. If you sell health insurance, look at a policy for yourself to protect your own income, especially if you're under the age of 65. Because guess what, Kathy? I have a couple agents who've already had cancer and they weren't even 45 yet. One of my agents has had two rounds of cancer, and most of her expenses were meeting her max out of pocket, which was $12,000 a year, plus the cost of non-medical devices. She had to have a double mastectomy, a special bed, a special recliner. She had to get special undergarments. She had to have someone cook and clean for her because she had no energy to cook and clean. I had a simple surgery, a gallbladder. That's a typical surgery that most people have. I couldn't move for 2 weeks. Think about the things that you're not going to be able to do and double it, because cancer, you're battling that for months on end, right? I don't think enough of us really look and feel why it's so important, not just for us, but our consumers too. I was discussing this actually with my agents today. I did the same training for them today, but more in depth. And think about when you go to buy your auto insurance. If you're not an auto insurance agent, I'm not an auto insurance agent. I sell life and health only. I have somebody who does auto insurance for me, like another agent. And when I call them, his name is Paul, and I hope you have some sort of Paul. But when I call Paul, I expect him to tell me what I need when I say, hey, I need auto insurance, because that's his specialty. I don't know the difference between comp, collision, full coverage. I mean, I know a little bit now that I've had auto insurance for 20-something years, but I don't know the nitty-gritties of the policies, and I don't really understand the nitty-gritties of the policies. It was years before I understood that I should have had an umbrella policy. I think a lot of health agents go in the door when someone says, ring, ring, hey, Kathy, I need Medicare. And we don't go into depth and show them why they need cancer, short-term disability, dental and vision. And oh, by the way, you're going to die one day and you should have a life insurance policy. And oh, by the way, what did you do with your retirement plan? And oh, by the way, a lot of agents, they're just Medicare only. And some of them MedSup only. And we've talked about this before. But you're not fully protecting someone if you didn't say there's other health insurance products out there to fully protect you. Because I don't think you're fully protected if you just have Medicare.
So I want to tell you something. Mm-hmm. Listening to you, I decided that this year, around January, like the first, second, third week of January, I was going to send out an email to all of my Medicare Advantage clients that are not in California, because you can't do this in California, offering them a hospital indemnity plan. And I sold my first one, because a lot of the Medicare Advantage clients, they really cannot afford a hospitalization or like a cancer.
If you can't afford $1,600, you can't not afford $30-something.
And when I was a financial advisor, I would tell my clients that cancer policies were just a waste of money. But you have to understand that I was dealing with people who generally had several hundred thousand dollars to invest with me.
Yeah.
I wasn't dealing with people living on the edge.
Yeah.
And now many of my clients are living more on the edge than back then, you know. So yes, thank you for that. Because I also always felt bad for the people with Medicare Advantage. I would always say, well, how are you going to pay these copays if you can't afford the $100 a month premium? Mm-hmm. And then you all gave me the tools to help them. So now I can say, look, you really do need this policy. And by the way, he didn't just buy the policy. We put a bunch of riders on it too. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very
I'm
much.
Glad somebody learned something from us running our mouths. Kathy, that's phenomenal. So many agents are scared that they're going to lose the business by offering what I call full coverage. But when my auto insurance agent offers me more coverage, I don't say, no, cancel my policy. I'm not going to work with you.
And it wasn't like I was pressuring. I sent out a freaking email.
Right. And they reached out to you because it said it spoke to their need.
Exactly. And the ones who didn't reach out, I'm not on the phone calling them, harassing them. How come you didn't respond to my email?
I've never had somebody say, I regret buying that cancer policy. I've never had somebody say, I regret buying that life insurance. And I used to work for Social Security Administration for almost 10 years. And Kathy, I saw people at the worst moments of their life, usually when they did have a death in the family or cancer or something even just as worse. One of the problems I saw when I was working at Social Security in the metro area here in Atlanta, very few people had short-term disability. Social Security disability, for the listener, if you got approved immediately, there's still a 5-month wait and month five is paid a month behind. So it's actually 6 months. How many people can go through the worst moments of their life for 6 months with no income coming in? If you're working at Walmart or something and you're an hourly employee, you might be an FMLA. How are you going to pay for that health insurance? How are you going to keep the lights on? I mean, I've gone through this before myself, you know. I tell people, at least get something short term to cover, even if it's an Aflac plan. Get something.
Absolutely. Now, is this the type of training that you're going to be giving on the cruise? The non-conference, yet it is a conference cruise?
Yes. So you'll be getting types of training like this. And one of the topics that's come up lately, and I think we probably talked about it a little bit, is succession planning, but non-typical training that is something that we all need to listen to and adhere to and do. Last year, one of my friends had an agent that passed away unexpectedly, and she had not known what her contracts were, and the upline did not pay her beneficiaries' renewals, and they lost everything she had worked for. Things like this we're going to talk about, many different topics. There's so many things that go along with what we do that I think there's a healthy appetite, like a buffet for everybody. So,
now,
yeah.
Speaking of buffets, I've never been on a conference cruise before. I've been on plenty of cruises, but I've never been on a conference cruise. And I don't know, can you do a dinner meeting on a cruise?
This is my idea. You ready for this?
Hit me with it.
Let's say you do main dining room. Usually there's a table of like eight. So I was thinking about having a speaker at each table of eight and then swapping seats.
Oh, so you're saying, let's say it's a 5-day cruise. Mm-hmm. So you get five speakers. You have five different sponsors or whatever of the cruise. So Monday, you'd go sit with Joanna. Tuesday, you'd sit with whoever. Wednesday, you sit. Is that kind of how you do it?
That's how I'm thinking in my brain, you know.
That's probably the only way you could do it, really. Uh-huh. I mean,
now in the buffet area for like breakfast and lunch, if you want to do informal, there's tables big enough for that. And then there's also private areas of the, like, I'm thinking of a couple cruise ships I've been on, like back in the back, you can take over the entire area.
I've never been on a cruise ship that didn't have meeting rooms. Mm-hmm. I just don't think they're going to serve you in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they will. I don't know.
I was just thinking it would be cool to do the business part while you're actually having to eat anyway, you know?
Well, you just gave me an idea. I don't know if this episode is going to be released before or after my cruise, but I'm going to be going on a 14-day cruise, and then I'm going to be staying 4 days in Barcelona. So it's across the ocean. Mm-hmm. So it's 10 days on the water, and then four, you know, each day after that. So four more days where you're actually stopping. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't that be amazing to do an across the ocean cruise where you don't got anything to do anyway? And so you might as well come to the training sessions, because you can only do so much on a sea day.
Yeah. Sea days are the days where I like to sleep in, and I don't do trivia. So we could do Medicare trivia, right?
Exactly. We'll see how this 4 or 5 day thing does. And if it works out and you have people interested, maybe at some point in a year or two or however long, you could do a going to Europe cruise where they do the repositioning. There's two times of year they do repositioning, and one of those times is during Medicare season. So we'd be stuck doing it like in March, April.
But that's the perfect time for many of us after OEP is over and, you know, we're looking for a breath of fresh air. And it would be a tax write-off because we're marketing and talking business. And
those cruises, they're usually pretty inexpensive.
Yes, I've seen them. I didn't get my passport in time. I didn't know that I could have used the cruise to get a passport. But there was 30-day cruises. There was two of them that I was interested in. One of them was going from like California to Australia. And man, I was trying to justify it so bad.
Those are a bit long. I would say the 10 to 14 days is that when I bought mine, I bought it a year in advance. It was $1,000 each to go from Miami to Barcelona. You can't even fly for that.
You can't stay at a hotel cheaper than that.
No, and that includes food, activity, and if I had played it right, Medicare information from Kathy and Joanna that people could have come and had part of that $1,000 a write-off.
So if anybody's listening, one of my agents, her name is Margaret. She is also a cruise addict. She's on a cruise twice a month.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm going on a cruise with her in a couple weeks. And she told us the other day that she actually gets a lot of prospects, a lot of clients on cruises because she's 65. I think she might be 66 now. But she just in passing, when people say, so what do you do, Kathy? What do you do? In talking to people, she brings up that she helps people with their Medicare options. And somebody says, well, my mom needs help. I need help. My Uncle Joe needs help. Right? And so just telling people what you do while you're traveling. If you have a license in the state that they live in, you can help them.
Yeah, that's true. And if you don't have a license, you can give them certifiedmedicareagents.com.
Exactly.
Or some of your buddies that you met through conferences. See how we wrap that all together? You meet people at conferences, and then you can share referrals in states where you're not licensed.
Another thing to bring up at this conference is there was PNC people there and life agents there. They wanted nothing to do with Medicare. They say, I don't do Medicare. I don't want to learn how to do Medicare. Joanna, can I send all my Medicare people to you? And I said, no, I'll just take that burden off you.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't want to deal with Medicare.
And I don't want to do. I don't want to learn property and casualty. Mm-hmm. I attempted one time to take the pre-license thing and I said, HO3, I'm out of here. It wasn't clicking in my brain. And I think that our brains function in certain niches. You know, mine clicked with the life and health insurance, especially the Medicare because of my background.
That's right. When you have worked for Social Security, that is a perfect fit. Or if you were a nurse or anybody in the medical field, it's a great fit because then you could talk about your experiences. All the things we talked about, we didn't really get into too much detail, but we did give some value bombs. We said, get there early, make some friends.
Because guess what? None of the other agents at these conferences are going to bite you.
And a lot of times there's people that want to help.
So I actually sat at a table and guess where some of these people were from?
Where?
Noonan, Georgia.
No way.
20 minutes from me. 20 minutes from me. A PNC auto agent and his wife across the table, 20 minutes south of me. And we met across the country. Isn't that crazy?
That is so crazy. It was like 20 years ago on a celebrity cruise. Mm-hmm. And they had a sushi that was free. Now you have to pay to go into the sushi bars. Mm-hmm. But they had this little sushi section and there was the same couple that was always there. Mm-hmm. And I just started talking to them because I always saw them at the sushi area and they lived about 15 minutes away from me.
Crazy.
And we became best friends and then they moved to Texas. Now, I heard you were moving, so we'll have to talk about that offline. We need to get together in person before you leave because you are way closer to me now than you are when you moved to Texas. So where it will be close is come one day extra from the days you're already planning on coming extra to go to this, what is it called? The $7 million
seven-figure Egypt Medicare Summit? Yeah. So I do actually plan on being there early and staying late because I have 30 of my agents coming to that conference. And so yeah, we'll definitely get together at least by June.
See, now here's the thing. A lot of insurance agents, when they go to conferences where there's other insurance agents, they think that's their competition.
If they lived in the backyard, they're not your competition. You live Hilton Head and I live outside of Atlanta. So what are we, like 6 hours away?
Yeah. And you're licensed in South Carolina. I'm not licensed in Georgia. You could live next door to me. Mm-hmm. You could live directly next door to me. And I still don't consider you my competition because somebody meets Joanna and somebody meets me and we are two very different personalities. Somebody is going to gravitate towards Joanna. They're probably not going to be a good client for me. And someone who gravitates towards me is probably not going to be a good client for Joanna. I have given clients to other agents in my cities because I didn't think they were a good fit for me. I'm like, look, you know, I don't think you're a good fit. Can I give you some can I give you some names? Mm-hmm. Your life, listener, will be so much better if you do that.
Yes.
The people that are not a good fit for you, who might be a great fit for someone else, they are going to be the ones that are going to take up all your time and they are going to aggravate you You've had clients like that, right, Joanna?
And agents. Yeah.
We've got 12,000 people a day turning 65. There is plenty of business for everybody.
I doubt that even if I live next door to you, that the same people I talk to are the same people you talk to. I have agents who live a mile from me. I have two that live a mile from me. And we don't trip over each other because we don't go to the same grocery stores. We don't go to the same places. We don't go to the same church. We're not in the same social circles. There's one Facebook group that we're all in, and that's about it. That's the same. But there's plenty of business to go around. And even if you only work in the radius around your house, there's still plenty of people. And all the people who are turning 65 in the 5 miles around my house, I can't help them all.
No, none of us can. We have to sleep. We have to eat. And like it or not, you have to spend a little bit of time with your friends and family.
Yeah.
You know, or you're not going to have any. And we are not designed to just work, work, work. We need some downtime. So come to the conferences when you see them.
Make friends. The best friends in this insurance agents and the insurance industry. Kathy, you and I, how this podcast started was, I forgot who approached who, but you were willing to mentor me on some technology. And we were Zooming and you were giving me technology advice for my Facebook groups. And I was like, this lady is brilliant. She's the smartest whip ever. And that's how we came out with this podcast. But you weren't my competition. It had neither intertwined. And I've learned so much from other agents. And that's why I try to give back with my Social Security advice, because I didn't know. I don't call myself a salesperson, but I've picked up so much because there's so much still in this industry that I have yet to learn, where I think that we're continuous students. But I think we pick up so many nuggets from other people, especially people who speak our language, because there's very few industries like ours. Maybe a tax accountant would understand our industry a little bit, but very few people actually understand our industry, where, like, who are you supposed to learn from? Because your broker managers can't answer the phone every day. So whose business model are you following? I've built a couple businesses, and a lot of times it was very trial and error. And if I can cut someone's learning curve and people didn't have to go through walking up the hill both ways through the snow like we did, then...
Well, sometimes, Joanna, your broker manager doesn't know as much as you think they do. Now, I am excluding you, but I was in the Facebook group, and you may have seen this, where I posted a picture of the email, a copy of the email, where I reached out to a broker manager for one of my clients. Basically, the client said that her gynecologist said that she had to pay the copay because they didn't take her Medicare supplement plan. And I'm like, that is crazy because they don't even have the option whether to take it or not if they accept Medicare assignment. They have to take it. And so she wrote the check for the $26. And then my job was to try to figure out what to send her doctor so they wouldn't tell her they didn't take it again. So I went into the Facebook group. I didn't get a lot of actual advice. It was just people saying, oh, they can't do that. And I'm like, yeah, but can you give me the
what
actual...
What to do when they actually do it, though.
Not your website. Not your website that says they can't do it. I need something from Medicare that says they can't do it. So anyway, I did wind up getting somebody who gave me the words in the Choosing a Medigap policy booklet. But get this, the broker manager of that company said, if they're not contracted with us, they don't have to take our plan. He doesn't know what he's talking about. They don't contract with Medigap plans. I was losing my mind, Joanna. So sometimes these broker managers don't know what the heck they're talking about.
Some of them just got hired and they've never worked in the industry before. You are completely right. Now, I had a situation recently, and I still haven't resolved it. I have a nice, sweet client who gets extra help for Part D. She lost her Medicaid recently, so having a regular MAPD plan is new to her. She's not used to having copays. Well, she has some back pain. She decided to start trying pain management. This pain management clinic takes her plan, but did the prior approval for a CPT code that she said is going to cost her $195 for a back injection. Now, I was under the impression that that was supposed to be covered as a specialist visit. And I was like, but you're not having it as an outpatient facility or an ambulatory surgical center. It's at a specialist office. And, you know, without calling someone that tells them that they don't know how to do their job, I don't think that that person was given the right CPT code. So I escalated up. I called actually a couple of my broker managers, even the CEO of one of the companies here locally, because she might want to drop that plan and go somewhere else. If a one plan is saying $195, where it should be a $15 specialist somewhere else or a $0 specialist somewhere else. And so I was shopping it around saying, what would this CPT code be with your plan? One of the things I wish I could make them put those CPT codes with the copays in the evidence of coverage, because it makes it really hard for us agents to guess how your doctor is going to bill something, especially something like this. But I thought it should be a specialist visit. And one of my broker managers, the one for her plan, you know, he had escalated it. We're still waiting for a response. And then another one of my carriers are like, no, that should be a specialist visit. And we charge $0 for specialist visit on these plans that you're talking about. And so I let the consumer know, I was like, hey, I'm researching it. I don't have an immediate answer, because sometimes it's not an immediate answer. But damn, they make it hard on us, because she wants these injections, but nobody will give her a clear, precise answer, because I think with some things, there's multiple billing codes, and that's not my profession. I'm not a billing expert.
We are not billing code experts, but we do know when things don't sound right. And by the way, I'm going to circle back to my client. Mm-hmm. By the time I said, call the company and get a claim form so you can get reimbursed, she said, I called the company to get a claim form and they said, your doctor's already been paid and now they owe you $26. Ridiculous. I don't have the knowledge to try to figure out codes. I'm not going to do that. I don't have the time.
I just sounded
like, bless you.
Me.
Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why your upline is important.
Yep,
I mean, if Joanna was your upline, she's going to tell you, here's how to research the code. She's not going to do it for you, but she's going to say, here's what to do. You're going to do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
My upline, they didn't even respond when we asked. And, you know, Joanna, if they weren't giving me money, and I'm looking at how much money they're giving me for co-op, and it's getting less and less because I'm doing less and less marketing. So there's going to be a point where I might be looking for a new upline, and listener Joanna, number one on my list.
Hello. One thing, agents come to me every day and say, will you buy me leads? No, I bought leads for people before. They never called them. It's your business, not mine. But I can tell you what I will do is I will train you. I will love on you. I will respect you. You will know what you're doing. You'll never be left out in the cold because we have a community. I'm watching as we're in this podcast now, agents are asking questions in my group chat and other managers are answering them. I put a system in place. And I think that, you don't know this until you're deep in years later, because nobody taught Joanna this in 2017 and 18. This is things that I've learned and had developed, because when I came into the Medicare industry, and we've had this discussion before, our listener, I didn't know that I needed someone to teach me the ins and outs of Medicare. I didn't know how funky it was. I knew the federal side. I didn't know how crazy the commercial side was. I thought I just needed to pass that AHIP and carrier certification and I was good to go, because I came from the life insurance side. I didn't know that, oh my God, so many ins and outs. Even Kathy, how long have you been selling Medicare?
Since 2014.
So that's 10 years. That's a long time. And Kathy is still learning stuff and new stuff is changing. This commissioner is trying to come out with new policies every year.
It's crazy. Oh, and I just wanted to say something to the listener, because I just realized Joanna is my upline, just not for Medicare.
Oh, I am your ACA upline.
She is my ACA upline, but I don't do a ton of ACA because I don't want to jumble up my mind too much with differing rules.
Yeah.
But yes, Joanna, I am her downline for ACA. Unfortunately, she doesn't get paid much for that. So,
yeah, ACA, it's crazy that they pay so differently. You know, ACA and upline usually makes between $1 to $2 on a policy. And so
you're not getting rich having me as your
and
your downline.
Most Medicare agents don't do a whole lot of ACA.
they usually catch the spouse in the house and the grandkids. No, but that's why I got into ACA, because when I added ACA from 2020, the height of COVID, people were losing their jobs left and right. It was like shooting fish in a barrel. And the money had came back to the ACA market because previously they had taken away some commissions. And so now they're actually paying decent commissions where it wasn't more than just a couple of dollars. And it was actually worth doing the certification and stuff. And now the commissions are even more than Medicare in some states. Like in Georgia, my commissions are more than Medicare. And especially if it's a family of more than one person, and you know, it's easier for me.
You should only take people in your downline for ACA if they do a commission split with you.
Here's my belief on that. If you're doing the hunting, the fishing, the skinning, drying the jerky, you should eat what you kill. I don't need more than my $2 because it's a bulk thing. I have an agent, her name is Tamara, and Tamara writes about 1,000 apps in an AAP. She's a beast. She's been doing this for over 10 years. She's actually our new under 65 manager. I get to see her on Wednesday. And let's say she writes 1,000 policies this coming AAP. I won't get a $2 override on her because she's my manager. So you don't get a whole $2 on everybody because of the levels. Mm-hmm. I'll probably get a 25-cent override. But think about the bulk. Because she does bulk, that's like $500 a month coming in like clockwork. Then we teach how to bundle. She sells more than just ACA. She sells cancer. She sells dental and vision.
All the things. We're bringing it back to all the things you're going to talk about on our cruise conference.
Yes, yes. So I'm excited.
Me too, as we have run up against the time clock. And for the listener, we don't have a cruise conference scheduled yet,
but apparently
it's in the works, and hopefully I'll find out before you do. Hopefully she will let me know so I can put it on my calendar. And thanks so much for coming on and talking to us about your conference experience. And if you have any conference experiences that you think we should know, go to the website. There is a little talk to us button on there. So if you go to the website, then you'll be able to leave Joanna and me a message.
Ooh, I like it.
And we might talk about it on our next podcast. Thanks again, Joanna. And for the listener, we'll see you next time on the Insurance Business Babes podcast. Bye.